Time to talk about rugby now, and in a moment we'll be joined by former Ireland and Ulster out-half David Humphreys. But first of all, let's hear from Irish coach Andy Farrell, who was asked by Michael Corcoran during the week about the importance of the remaining two games in the Six Nations against Scotland and England.
Well, yeah, I mean, the two massive games for us, they're the old enemies, aren't they? You know, the rivalry is as ripe as ever with Scotland and with England, and All three teams want to finish the Six Nations on a high, and that's why we love it so much, don't we? Because the goalposts keep changing week to week in the Six Nations, and there's an emotional aspect that comes to that as well. And we know going to Murrayfield again in the recent past, we've come unstuck there, so we know how well they're playing at the minute, and we know how well that we'll need to play to come away with a victory.
That was Andy Farrell there chatting to Michael Corcoran during the week. As I said, we're joined on the line now by David Humphreys. David, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
And those two remaining games for Ireland, for Andy Farrell, it's very important, even though it may be very difficult, to secure two victories.
I think people have talked a lot about the Six Nations as a breeding ground, almost an opportunity for players to get game time this year. For me, the Six Nations is one of the best competitions to be part of. And you've got to go out and win every game. And the beauty of the Six Nations, as we've seen this year, is that most of the games are close, apart from, I think, the two Italy fixtures and the Wales-England fixture last weekend. But everything else has been tight. So you can never take anything for granted. But there's no question that these two games for Ireland, building on the performance against Italy, where they finally, after a slow start, you know, played some really good rugby and some of their key players found some good form again.
So would you be optimistic looking at that performance against Italy? Italy admittedly, fell away badly, and it could be said that they were feeble in their efforts to deal with Ireland. But can we take very positive signs from that looking forward to the last two games?
Certainly, it was the first time that Ireland's attacking game really clicked, and they scored some very, very good tries. And it wasn't just the fact they scored those tries. The shape to their game was good. The basics of their game was good. And it's funny, we could easily be sitting here, the two games that Ireland lost were both one-score games. You could easily be talking, having a very different conversation about, yeah, Ireland have had a slow start to this year's championship, but they've now got a chance going away to Scotland, home to England, to really give themselves an opportunity to win the competition. And those are the fine margins, but certainly there was a lot more positive coming out of the performance last weekend, and having players like Ryan back, and I thought Tadhg Burnett at six were outstanding. And obviously, from my own point of view, watching Johnny Sexton very closely and see him come back, and you know, he was the dominant personality in that game. He controlled everything that was good about Ireland's performance.
Mm. Now, generally, when we're talking about the Six Nations, David, the good news is that France are being allowed to complete the tournament by the French government, despite the many COVID outbreaks in the squad and backroom team. So it looks as if they will be playing Scotland on the 26th of March. So at least it will be brought to a finality, the Six Nations. We won't be waiting until the summer.
That's important. They've got a tournament of this stature and this nature. You want an end point. And we've all been watching France slowly develop into what, you know, you could argue one of the top teams in the world. And the way they play, the young players coming through, they're very, very difficult to play against. But it's more a case of, for me, the dark horses really in this year's championship have been Wales. You know, prior to the competition, the team, certain elements in the media and pundits were suggesting that they would struggle to win a game. You know, they've come through and now are odds-on favourites for the championship. But with the pressures that come in the current COVID world, it was inevitable that some team was going to be affected. But delighted that the competition will finish, in, not in time, but this over the next month.
And keeping with the French team, it was very interesting. Obviously, Wales beat England by 40 points to 24 last Saturday. But there were two very controversial decisions made, and they were discussed a lot in the wake of that game. But interestingly enough, Pascal Gauzère, the man who made those two decisions, he put his hand up during the week. And I think he said to the referee judge, he more or less admitted that he had made made, I think they were described as two unfortunate events. If you were English, you wouldn't really like to hear the sound of that.
Yeah, I can think of nothing more difficult than being a rugby referee with so many laws and interpretations. It is very difficult, and inevitably there are decisions in every game, but very rarely do you get two as big as that. To me, Pascal Gauzère did get them both wrong. If you were English, you'll be extremely frustrated by the way the timings of that first try and how quickly he did the whistle after asking Farrell to speak to his team. But the second one was more interesting in that technically some people were trying to argue that it was within the laws because it hit his leg before going forward. It wasn't technically a knock-on. But in my experience, I've never been involved in the game as a player or from a management point of view where that hasn't been blown up as a knock-on. And certainly England can feel very, very hard done by with those two decisions. But ultimately, as Farrell and Eddie Jones said after the game, despite that, they got themselves back into the game and really have only themselves to blame for not beating Wales in the end.
And Wales winning the Triple Crown, how much is a surprise is that to you?
Oh, it's enormous. I touched on it a moment ago. Coming out from the Autumn Nations Cup, where Wales had played very badly, I was involved with Georgia against Wales and we went into the game believing we'd a chance to win, and we lost 18-0, but Wales really didn't fire at all. But again, it just goes to show that a new coach coming in, trying to implement a new style of play, a new game plan, it does take time for that to be installed within the playing group. And I think you've seen now, particularly some of the tries that Wales scored last weekend against England, their attacking game is developing. When they have a full-strength team, they're going to be very, very competitive. Yes, they got luck in the first couple of games with the red cards, but you make your own luck in many ways.
Mm. Just back to the domestic scene, Johnny Sexton signing a new one-year contract, Peter O'Mahony a two-year contract, and Keane Healy a one-year contract. So good news for them, all in their 30s. Johnny Sexton obviously a little bit older, but good to get that business done.
Oh, that's a huge boost for Irish rugby. It's a huge boost for the national team. It's a huge boost for those provinces. The secret to Ireland and the provincial teams getting success is having your key players playing and playing well in Ireland. The ability to look after their game time throughout the course of the season has allowed players, like you mentioned, like Johnny Sexton, like O'Mahony, like Healy, to prolong their careers. And there's a lot of talk about Johnny's age and how much longer he's got. But in the modern game, you look through all sports, there are players who are playing the top of their game older than what Johnny is. And like, from my perspective, I've never been worried about the age of the player. What you're looking at is the level of performance, the level of availability, because the risk as players get older is that they're more injury prone. But those players are all playing well and still very, very capable of representing Ireland at the highest level.
Turning to the British and Irish Lions tour, well, we don't know whether it's going to go ahead or not, but confirmation in the last 24 hours that they, the board of the British and Irish Lions, they've turned down the offer of Australia hosting the event. And there's now a suggestion that they may go with the option of having it in South Africa, but behind closed doors. Do you see that as a real possibility?
With the impact that it would have on the global calendar and on future tours and build up to World Cups, I am someone who believes that it should go ahead this year. Without knowing the detail behind the financials involved and whether it's played in the UK or whether, as you said, the games are played in South Africa behind closed doors, that's a decision for the guys who, the money men behind it. For me, having never been good enough to be selected for British and Irish Lions tour, there is a certain uniqueness that comes with the Lions, and it's all about touring, and I would be very loath to let that go. I understand the world we're in, I understand the challenge of the go ahead in trying to put a tour like that together, but I do believe where possible the Lions need to tour, and if they can tour South Africa this year, so much the better.
Back to the Pro 14, David, a match you'll have a big interest in taking place at the Kingspan tonight. Ulster really have to beat Leinster if they're to stand any chance of getting to the final of the Pro 14. What do you reckon?
Well, Leinster have been Ulster's nemesis for so many years now, both in particularly in the Pro 14. It's a huge game. it just shows at the moment Munster, Leinster and Ulster are so far ahead of everybody else in that competition. I think they've only lost to each other, and that's the gap that's built up over the last few years. And for Ulster tonight, this is a huge test. As you said, to even have the opportunity of getting the top spot, they've got to win and then hope that Leinster slip up over the course of the next two games. And if you're in the Ulster camp, you're saying very much they can only control what they can control, and that's going out and producing a big performance tonight. They've got a good team. Marcel Katsia coming back in definitely gives them an edge that they will need, and you know, they'll need to play at their very best to get a result tonight against a very, very good Leinster team.
Yes, indeed. Well, David Humphreys, thank you very much for joining us this afternoon.